Hi everyone, welcome. I was just thinking, driving over here, it was -3 I think today. The threat of snow. It's a great joy of living in Canada. I was thinking of Rob, he's probably sitting there in his swimming trunks ready to go to the beach after we finish here today. So, salvation is not by association, and we're in part 11 now, and the subtitle today is The Heart is the Kingdom of God. Yeah. The heart is the kingdom of God. So last week we saw the great Apostle Paul. Do you remember that? What was he doing? He was testifying and defining the full gospel of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Remember we saw that? Yeah. But what was its content? Yeah, that's what we looked at, wasn't it? Its context was and is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And it was Paul's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God throughout the book of Acts. Yeah. And focused on it at the end of his life and ministry. That's what we looked at and focused on last week. So Paul, as he came towards the end of his life and ministry, he taught a single gospel message. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Which, as an apostle, he defined that as the full counsel, yeah, the full purpose, the full will of God. And that's really key for us to really emphasize in our lives and minds. So what if the kingdom is not preached then? Yeah? Is the gospel of the grace of God being preached? Absolutely not. We saw that. If we're not hearing the gospel of the kingdom of God, we are not hearing the central message of Jesus Christ. And if we're not hearing the central message of Jesus Christ, you've got to be asking yourself, what are we hearing? Just because it's surrounded in religious language doesn't make it the full counsel of God. And it's really key for us not to get deceived by that. But do you see who he was? He was one vetted by the Lord. Yeah, ever been for an interview? Yeah, where somebody or a group of people are vetting you for the position. That's what he had to go through. Yeah, with the Lord. So you know that the qualities of that man's life were excellent for carrying out what he was asked to carry out, his ministry, his mission in life. Yeah. But he did that with all the apostles. Yeah, and we're going to see that today. That those vetted by the Lord define the gospel, right? Because they were listening to the Lord. They were being instructed by the Lord. We're going to see that today, right? And they were the ones who carried it out. So we should be looking and saying, okay, what did they carry out? Yeah, is what they carried out what we hear today in the religious systems of this world? Absolutely not. It's not. And we're going to see it black and white today in the book of Acts. So if you turn to Acts chapter 1, we're going to start off in Acts chapter 1. So who else did this? You know, we've seen the Apostle Paul, and the reason I'm carrying on with this same subject is we're going to see other apostles who did exactly the same thing. They preached exactly the same message, yeah, as the Apostle Paul. But who else did that? Well, we're going to see another apostle, but we're also going to see the Lord himself. You'd think there'd be a little bit of a clue there for us that, you know, if the Lord's doing it and all the apostles are doing it, shouldn't we be doing it? You would think so, wouldn't you? If we are, quote, followers of the Lord. So if we aren't doing it, are we followers of the Lord? No, we're not. We're followers of something else. A church, a denomination, a statement of faith. Take your pick. There's plenty out there. Yeah. But you can't class yourself as a follower of the Lord if you're not echoing what the Lord taught. What the Lord made the heart of the gospel. Right? So it's going to be an exciting set as we get into this. So Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Underline that. Because the ultimate aim of teaching is a doing. Yeah? It's not us meeting here every week, going through all the teachings on our website, filling ourselves up with knowledge, yeah, getting really smart about how the devil operates, but never do anything. We're surrounded by that. Yeah? So it's really important, these small words, sometimes to note them. So there's doing and teaching. Because we so often lean to the teaching, don't we? But the doing, oh, hey, hold on, that's hard work. Yeah, that means I've got to actually do something. But do you realize there's a responsibility in understanding and knowing this information from the scriptures? We will be held accountable for him having opened up our eyes and declaring to us the gospel and us actually seeing it, because that's granted to us to see it. That's what I was thinking, that a couple of weeks back we asked people, you know, what do you think Jesus Christ, what do you think you have to do for Jesus Christ's salvation? Well, don't stop doing that just because we finished the homework. Yeah? It's a great thing to do. Look for that opportunity in your life to say, hold on, we're just going through some stuff in the scriptures in our assembly. What do you think? And just get the conversation going. Yeah? And you'll never know. I mean, I had one person turn around to me who was an unbeliever, an outsider. Asked me, well, what do you think you have to do? Oh, fantastic. You know? She didn't realize what was coming, but it was just an opportunity to declare the gospel of God. We've got a responsibility for doing that. So it's not our association with the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Do you get that? It's not about us just knowing that information, associating ourselves with it and thinking, oh yeah, everything's okay, I understand that. There's more responsibility involved in knowing this knowledge of the kingdom, and we better catch on to it, right? And by the way, it's the doing as defined in scripture, not as you and I define it, yeah? And the Lord is very clear on what we need to do to enter into the kingdom. Look at verse 2. Now, it could be a while here if this is verse 2 just coming up. Right. So verse 2, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given what? Orders. You ever get an order at work? You ever get your boss telling you to do something? This is what he was doing. Right. You've been through the interview, you've been vetted, but here's what I want you to do. Right? That's going to be important. But he gave orders to who? To the apostles. Yeah? To the apostles whom he had chosen. Imagine that, getting chosen by the Lord. Okay, I'm going to make you an apostle. And here's some orders for you to carry out. We're going to see what these orders were. Really important. Now watch this next verse. We're going to see what Jesus preached after his resurrection. Now, we saw the Apostle Paul last week. We thought, okay, he's on the way out. He's coming to the end of his ministry. This is Jesus Christ having been raised from the dead. And just watch what he's talking about. Yeah? Just watch what he's talking about. Just watch what the Lord focuses on after being raised from the dead. We're going to get a real insight into what the orders were. Don't forget that now, in verse 2, right? We're going to get a real insight into what the Lord ordered them to do. Yeah. But wouldn't you love a recording of that teaching? Yeah? Wouldn't you? Well, here it is. Here it is. Okay, but it's not an audio CD. But it's what's recorded in the Holy Scriptures as to what he defined as being the gospel of the kingdom. So we have the recording. Yeah? It's fantastic. Now remember, Jesus knew He had a limited time. Yeah, I think this is important. He had a limited amount of time. The clock's ticking. Yeah. The clock's ticking. The seconds are going. In order for him to get across the most important information he could ever preach on. He's just been resurrected, for goodness sake. And the disciples and the apostles must be thinking, oh, thank goodness he's back. Yeah. What's he going to tell us? Well, listen up to what he does tell them. Because remember, when we saw Paul coming to the end of his ministry, we saw what Paul focused on. Remember that? Because he knew this could be the last sermon in front of these people, these elders of the church. I've got to teach what's really, really key. What is the heart of the gospel? Yeah, that's key. Now, we've got to pick up the audience again. Giving orders to the who? The apostles. So he's talking to his leadership. He's talking to those who are going to, who have been chosen. Yeah, we saw that. Don't forget it. Look at verse 3. To these. So who are we talking about? The apostles. To these, the apostles whom he had chosen. Yeah, we see that in the context. He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the what? The kingdom of God. That's what the Lord felt was absolutely critical for these apostles. Yeah. Never mind anybody else. These are the ones who are going to keep on moving the word of God throughout the age. And what does he decide to do? Oh, I'm going to teach them the kingdom of God. Do you see the mess we're in today? Because you don't hear the kingdom of God getting taught. Do you get that? It's almost absolutely lost today. So Jesus is surrounded by his chosen apostles. He knows he's got a limited time. You can hear the clock ticking in the background. So what did Jesus prioritize as the content? As the content he wanted communicated to these men. Who would, by the way, be grasping the baton, yeah, in the race to run with it. He taught them the kingdom of God. We can never allow ourselves to minimize and dilute the importance of the kingdom of God. It's the heart of the gospel. Remember we saw the ravenous wolves last week. What were they tearing out? They were tearing out the heart of the gospel, the kingdom of God. And they continue to do it today unabated. There's nobody talking about this. You do realize that. There's nobody talking about this. There's nobody preaching about this. They're all preaching about dying and going to heaven. So are we starting to see where the teaching of the kingdom of God was for these great men? Front and center. Front and center. Challenge you. Go and look on the internet and see what the statements of faith are in these churches. You will not see the kingdom of God taught correctly. You may see the terms. You may see the religious language. But not as it's taught in the scripture. So Jesus talked to the apostles, those who were given the commission to take the gospel of the kingdom and preach it everywhere. Now, go to Matthew, which is, you know, you'll see a heading in your Bible, the Great Commission. Well, that's not by inspiration of God, right? The Great Commission was given, and we're going to see it very clearly, given to the apostles. It's addressed to the apostles. It's not specifically addressed to you and I. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. Verse 16, but the 11 disciples, there's a clue who the audience is, yeah? But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, when who? When they saw him, They worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, the 11 disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And now we've got virtually the whole of Christianity saying that's our great commission as well. No, it's to the apostles. It's to the disciples. We just read it. Yeah. Now, does that mean we don't declare the kingdom of God to people? Of course not. But that specific instruction was given to a very specific group. Yeah. But let me ask you, can you do that without teaching the kingdom of God? How the heck do you do that? It's really tough. But they seem to manage it and have done for generations. Yeah. Teaching about Jesus. Yeah. Using the name of Jesus and not actually communicating what he was communicating. Of course, you cannot do that without the kingdom. But many think they are without teaching the kingdom of God. Go back to Acts chapter 1, please. And it doesn't matter how sincere people are. Remember, we dealt with that. The deceit of sincerity. Yeah. We've got to get fixated onto the content and not get fixated onto the personalities and the sincerity and the good works and the great things they do and how they feed the poor. Yeah? Look at verse 4 of Acts 1, carrying on that section. Gathering them together, we know from the context previously who that is. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the what? The kingdom to Israel." You remember their background, don't you? Who they are, where they came from. Where's the kingdom? Is this the time you're going to establish the kingdom? What was front and center in their mind? The kingdom. No, you're not getting out of here, Jesus, until you answer this. Yeah? We want to know where the kingdom is. When are you going to establish the kingdom? Wow. So where was the focus of the apostles? Are you catching this? Where was the focus of the apostles? On the kingdom of God. Where's our focus? Exactly the same place. At least in this assembly. And in another few assemblies we know of. Yeah? Why? Why do we do that? Because that was Jesus' focus. But not just Jesus' focus. The apostles. Called. Chosen apostles who wrote the majority of what you're holding in your hand by inspiration of God, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was their focus? The kingdom of God. We shouldn't have any other focus. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed our website? What the focus of our website is? Yeah? I think we even say that on the first page. So just like we saw last week with the Apostle Paul, Jesus was also leaving, right? He was on the way out, and his whole focus was on the exact same content. Get it? Got to drive that into our hearts and minds. Our content is critical. Somebody saying to you, "Yes, I believe in Jesus," doesn't give you the content. Yeah? And we got to get there. What is the content? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Right? Because we know there's no salvation, no deliverance without the kingdom of God, entrance into that kingdom. Right? So we've got to be focused on the exact same content. Now, here's another great apostle. If you need to get this really established in your heart and mind, oh, well, Paul, yeah, you know, we know about Paul. Here's another one. Here's another apostle who's going to reiterate exactly what the apostle Paul reiterated. Because remember, Paul was reiterating it from the Lord, from the orders the Lord had given them. Mm-hmm. Yeah? You ever heard of Philip? That's who we're going to see now. Fantastic man. So turn to Acts chapter 8. Now, Philip, another apostle who rubbed shoulders with the Lord. Another apostle who was called out, yeah, and vetted by the Lord. Fantastic. So what was Philip preaching about? Shouldn't we really be attentive to that? Any man who was called out as an apostle and given orders by the Lord himself, we should be focused on these guys so much to understand what they were preaching about. Do you think there's a clue there for us? You bet there is. Listen up now. Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about what? The kingdom of God. So what's Philip, the apostle, Philip, preaching? The kingdom of God. We're in the book of Acts about the rise and expansion of the Christian church. And what are these guys doing? They're carrying out the orders. Remember the orders? Orders of the Lord. You teach about this. And guess what they do in their obedience? Do exactly what the Lord asked them to do. So what should we do if we are followers of the Lord? Exactly what the Lord has taught us to do. We preach the kingdom of God. It's fantastic. So when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And let me tell you something. There is no good news without the kingdom of God. Right? So anybody tried to tell you that you can preach the good news, the gospel, without the kingdom of God being taught, is a liar. Is a liar. So we're surrounded by liars. Yeah, who purport to preach the gospel, and yet they rip the heart out of the gospel by not preaching the kingdom of God, for the most part. Yeah. So right there, again, you have the content, don't you? You know, you've got the recording. Oh, Philip, I've got your notes for your teaching. Very good. Kingdom of God. Thank you. Got the recording. Didn't even have to pay for it. Didn't have to download it. It's right there. Right. So, are we getting the message? The message is the kingdom of God. Yeah? That's the heart of the gospel. If you don't have that, it's dead. You know what a heart does, don't you? Keeps you alive. Have you ever seen anybody without a heart? Yeah. You've got to have a heart to be alive. You've got to have the gospel of the kingdom of God has got to be at the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Absolutely key. There is no other good news, right? It's not, here's a slightly good news. There's nothing without it. There's nothing without it. If you don't have the kingdom of God as the heart of your life and ministry and gospel, you have nothing. We have nothing. Yeah? I went decades of my life preaching nothing. Get it? preaching nothing. Because what you do then is you're actually teaching another gospel. Do you remember Galatians? Yeah? Do you remember who gets cursed? Paul says it twice in Galatians. You teach anything else. Teach anything else. You're accursed. Acts 14. Acts chapter 14. Isn't Acts great? Yeah. It's got all these recordings in it. All these things that just reinforce what the Lord said. Because they're carrying out the word of the Lord. These men were fantastic men. And we saw it in the life of the Apostle Paul, to the detriment of his whole life. We're going to see it today, again, the Apostle Paul doing that. No recognition of the risk to his life. He couldn't care less. I'm preaching the kingdom of God regardless. Verse 19 of chapter 14. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul. Oh, they what? They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. Just watch this. Supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. Are you joking? He just got out of the city, got stoned almost to death. They drag him outside the city. He says, oh, I'm going back in now. I've got to preach the kingdom of God. I've got to preach the gospel. No. Wow. He didn't take the Greyhound bus out of there. Or was it Donkey Hound? Or I don't know what they call them over there. Yeah. He didn't. He went straight back into the city. Wow. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel, what do you think that was? No prizes. Because we've seen it all the way through, haven't we? You know what that gospel was. The content of that gospel was the kingdom of God. So after they had preached the gospel, and have you noticed how popular that was? Did you catch that? He got stoned to death for it. Yeah? He got stoned to death for it. Almost to death for it. Yeah? That's how popular it'll be when you and I teach it as well. So don't be shocked. So after they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, hold on, we must enter the kingdom of God. My goodness. I mean, were we blind or what in previous years? Huh? This thing, this subject, this content is thrown up in our face in virtually every verse of the Bible. And we still have people who don't see it, even when we declare it to them. I sent somebody a whole pile of content on this. And I'm deafened by the crickets. Yeah, about it. Not one question. The blindness is breathtaking. But are we catching on to the apostles' content here? Yeah? The kingdom of God. So what was the focus of their faith? The faith they were to continue in, the gospel of the kingdom. Entrance into the kingdom. Now, you don't get entrance into the kingdom, let me make something very clear, by knowing about it. Yeah? Oh, I've got that figured out. I've got that box ticked. Yeah, well, you're going to need to take a few more boxes. And changing our lives. The gospel demands a changed life. Yeah. Do you see the mess we're in? Because the religious systems of this world, not only have they destroyed the kingdom and got rid of the kingdom, they've destroyed the teaching that you have to change your life. Oh no, you're okay. God expects you to have a bit of sin in your life. Because you've got a sin nature. Yeah? Oh, it's just a natural thing for you to sin. Despite Jesus saying, go and sin no more to a number of people in the scriptures. And reiterated in the, through the apostles' teaching over and over and over again. Quit sinning. Yeah. So, knowing this stuff, don't ever associate yourself with knowing the kingdom. You don't know it. Just because you heard about it, just because you understand it, you don't know it until you change. Because it's the only time it's ever going to impact your life. Because if you don't, you're going to be standing outside the gate saying, Lord, Lord, yeah, I knew about the kingdom. Yeah, you did. Well, I don't know you because you never changed.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there. So it's not dying and going to heaven, is it? Yeah? It's not dying and going to heaven. But do you see there that hope of dying and going to heaven? Do you see it anywhere in the scripture? Can you pull me up one verse? And yet people are so focused on it as their hope. Our hope is the kingdom of God. Amen. What did they say? Entrance into the kingdom. Do you remember the banquet? Huh? God said, come on in. Oh, where are they? Yeah. Silence is deafening, guys. The response is mind-blowing. Yeah. We'll go to Acts 19. But I want you to pull out of what we just read there that their endurance in that situation in Acts 14 came from understanding the kingdom of God. Believe me, there's no endurance or very little endurance in your life by thinking you're going to die and go straight to heaven. Yeah. Comes from understanding the truth of the scriptures. Acts 19:1. It happened that while Paul was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Oh, look at that. Drop down to verse 7. And they were in all about, what? 12 men. Where the heck's the mega church? 12. There's 12 in here. Because you know one of the first questions you often get asked when you talk about our assembly? Oh, how big is that? You ever had that?
Yeah.
How big is that? Oh, I say, it's a few. It's the same as the apostle came across in Ephesus. That sounds good, doesn't it? 12, yeah. As if numbers give you any credibility in the scriptures, yeah. Jesus, 12 apostles. Is that all? He thought he had a lot more than that. He was the Son of God, after all. Yeah. And there's a bit of a clue that virtually the whole book of Acts is smattered with them meeting in their homes. You know they didn't live in mansions, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have 12 bedrooms. I've got one. But we'll squeeze in here, all six of us. That's the kind of size of assemblies they had. It's fantastic. So verse 8. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about. Man, is this a broken record or what? The kingdom of God. Fantastic. The Apostle Paul, 3 months reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Wow. Wouldn't you love to hear that recording? You're not falling for that, are you? It's here. Have you heard of the book of Ephesians? Colossians, Philippians. That's a recording of what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, what about the book of Romans? Yeah. That's a recording of Paul. Wow. Fantastic. And verse 9. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient. Do you see a linkage there? Yeah. When people get hard, they get disobedient. Because that's what sin does. Yeah. Anyway. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Look at verse 10. This took place for what? 2 years. 2 years, 3 months. He's declaring the kingdom of God. Right? So that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So what do you think the content of the word of the Lord was? No, again, no prizes. The kingdom of God. Yeah, the kingdom of God. That's all these guys are talking about. Right? The kingdom of God was their content. Right? That's the critical part of understanding the scriptures. Can you say you understand the scriptures if you don't understand the kingdom of God? No, you can't. It's a central message. Do you see that? Yeah. It's what they're all talking about.
Yeah.
There is no word of God without the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Even in Genesis, you know, where it says man was made in God's image. Image of what? What do you mean, image of God? Do I look like a spirit? Do I look as if I lived forever? Maybe you might say that. But it's the ruling of the kingdom. He made us in the image of God to rule in the kingdom. Right there in Genesis, all the way through to the book of Revelation, is the kingdom. And virtually nobody sees it. You talk about Satan doing a great job. Man, masterful job of this. Hey, they're all in it. They're all in the Greek. They're all in the Hebrew. They're all, the seminars are bursting at the seams. All of this stuff's going on, and nobody's focused on the kingdom. Like I said, he has done an amazing job. And we're going to start focusing on him pretty soon. But today we seldom hear of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And if we hear the term at all, it's usually in the context of heaven. You know? Your destination when you die. Yeah? Or somebody's reading a parable. Oh, it comes up then. There's the kingdom of God. Where are they? They're sitting on a cloud eating Philadelphia cheese and it got nothing to do with the kingdom on earth. Yeah? It's got nothing to do with the earthly reign of Jesus Christ on earth, reigning in righteousness with those whom he's called. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Totally foreign to most of them. And we spent months on it in the series Presence of the Future. Yeah? But it's not the focus. The central focus of the coming earthly kingdom reign of Jesus Christ has been ripped out of the so-called, and I say so-called, put it in quotes, Christian church. How can you be a Christian church if you're not teaching what Christ taught? Is that deceit or what? Here's the label. Slap the label on the outside. What's inside? Not this content. Not this content. Something else. Some other gospel that's not focused on the kingdom of God. And God only wants the focus to be on the kingdom of God. Because if you haven't figured it out yet, that's what's turning up at the end of this age. Yeah. As we finish off here, I want us to look at next week the confrontation of all the ages. Yeah. Because there's a huge learning for us in Matthew 4. Yeah. When the Son of God meets the devil. Have you got a picture of that? Yeah. Can there be any polar opposites than the man who was all love against the prince of all darkness, who is all evil and hate? Fantastic learning there for us in Matthew 4 next week. Yeah. So that record is going to give us great insight into how we have ended up in this mess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But praise God, he's dragged us out of that mess and enlightened our eyes and opened our eyes to the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus Christ's coming reign here on earth, where he will be Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he will reign with those who he has called. And we will rule with him. Mm-hmm. If we are obedient.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.